Welcome to College Basketball Today, episode 9. Today's date, December 24th, Christmas Eve. And let's begin with our starting lineup with a really good game at The Rock in Houston beating Arkansas by a score of 94-85. When you look at this, you got to look at the dynamic duo in the backcourt, a senior and a freshman. Emmanuel Sharp firing from all cylinders, scoring 22 points, while freshman Kingston Flemings, who we've talked a lot about on this show, someone that should be considered a top five draft pick, getting you 21 points at a 7-15 from the floor. On the flip side, you have to look at Darius Cuff Jr., 27 points and a hard-fought game in which Arkansas literally played really well at times. Houston snaps Arkansas's four-game winning streak as they extend their own winning streak to five games. What you saw is, like I talked about, that backcourt of Sharp and Flemings and the way that they could trade roles in scoring. They're so dynamic. You thought about, you know them this year going into this year, what you're getting out of Kingston Flemings, and he's showing himself to be a top five pick. Arkansas struggled at the free throw line. Inconsistent on offense, and that's been kind of Cal's thing, is they've been good at times, bad at times. Cougars soar past the Razorbacks 94-85 in a really good matchup. And you have to start to think about this. They sent a message, right? Shot making, toughness, poise, when it mattered most. This is a March level win in December for a Houston team that should be in the national title race. Let's move on to game number two. And that's Purdue versus Auburn. And what a beatdown Purdue gave. 88-60 in the Indy Classic. And I don't even know if it was that close. And showing both sides of the ball, which is so dangerous for Purdue. Scoring and obviously the defense, led by Trey Kaufman Wren, 18 points. While the All-American point guard, Braden Smith, very simple, 11 points, 14 assists, efficient from the floor. That's what makes Purdue so dangerous, folks, is their ability to have Braden Smith be a scorer, but also be a key distributor and what they have going on. When you look on the other side, Kevin Overton was really good, probably the only bright spot for Auburn with a team-high 22 points. Here's the key thing. We know about Purdue's efficiency offense, but their strong presence in the paint with Kaufman Wren really makes them really hard to guard because they can beat you on both sides of the ball in regards to inside and outside. And when you look at a team like Purdue, this wasn't a game. This was another statement made, right? Purdue guarded Auburn with precision, pace, and physicality. Elite teams don't survive. They impose their will. And Matt Painter's team imposed their will in a very impressive 88-60 win. Let's get to a big matchup at the Garden over the weekend on Saturday. And that was Texas Tech with a really good 82-81 win over Duke. Duke led as many as 17 points, but Texas Tech stormed back in the second half to hand Duke their first loss of the season. What can you say about JT Toppin? We'll talk about him a little bit more in the next segment, and Texas Tech with a double-double, 19 points, 10 rebounds. Fought himself, was in foul trouble a little bit, and played really well. When you go to the other side, you got to talk about the Bruiser. That's Cam Bruiser with a really good 23-point, 5-rebound, 7-assist performance, 7 of 11 from the floor. Really efficient offensively. What it showed is Grant McCaslin's team ability to show grit. So clutch execution down the stretch to get that win. Duke showed that they can score in bunches, but they seemed to kind of tighten up down the stretch of that game when they couldn't get the win. Texas Tech gives Duke, you know, their first defeat. And think about this, being down big, right? A big statement game. No panic out of Grant McCaslin's teams. They storm back. They stun Duke and Gotham. That is a big-time win for Texas Tech as they head into the Big 12 season. Let's head to a game that took place last night that I was in attendance in, and that was Villanova's 64-56 win over Seton Hall. When you look at this game, You got to look at one point. It was a 16-0 second half run that really broke over the game. The game was very tight between the two teams in the first half. Not a lot of scoring, which you could expect with Shaheen Holloway's team, because no one mucks a game up like Shaw's team when they're grinning and really getting after you defensively. But Arkan Lunis led Villanova with 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, played really good basketball, showed an ability to create and really kind of get himself with his kind of – he kind of has this almost like a herky-jerky style of play in which how he kind of maneuvers and gets himself – into the paint. Matt Hodge, 12 points, hit some big threes. And what you really saw was the ability to force turnovers defensively. Seton Hall did not shoot the ball well at about 33%, if I'm not mistaken. You got to look at Fisher getting you 13 points, leading Seton Hall in scoring. But it was really the play of Bud Clark not doing well and Stanton McCray. The two of them struggled mightily. Now, you always have to look at the big center, Hines, the kid out of New Jersey, who has really kind of been a one-man wrecking crew inside. He did not play in this game. He's dealing with an injury. Let's see if Seton Hall gets him back. He's missed the last two games as Seton Hall has gotten a split to begin their Big East season. When you look at Kevin Willard, though, you got to remember, this is his first game back at the Rock in the Big East. Remember, before he was at Villanova, he was at Maryland. Before that, he made runs at Seton Hall with Shaheen Holloway on his bench. So Villanova's second half surge really was the difference, really flipping the momentum of the game. While they were scoring, Seton Hall wasn't able to do so. And that win will give Villanova a really good win on the road to begin their Big East play. As you look at Villanova possibly being, you know, that third best team in the Big East right now behind UConn and St. John's. Good job by Coach Willard to get that win. Let's head to the women's side, as there was two games being played. I mean, it feels like every game was being played in New York City or Jersey, right? You had Houston, Arkansas being played at the Rock in Prudential, New York, New Jersey. Then you had the Duke Texas Tech game taking place at MSG, and then you had a really good women's doubleheader at the Barclays Center in a Champions Classic. And let's start with just another beatdown by a team that beats everyone down, and that's UConn. And a dominating 70-64 win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. And what can you say about Sarah Strong getting you 23 points, AZ Fudd giving you 27, just showing their ability to really impose their will on both sides of the ball. When you go look at the other side and you look at the Iowa Hawkeyes, I mean, they were obviously led by 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in regards to their big, but they just couldn't muster anything up offensively. UConn just shows their ferocity on both sides of the ball in a really, really big and dominating win. If you really want to think about it here, this team, no drama, no debate, just dominance day after day. Nothing gets old when it comes to the UConn Huskies in a beatdown. Speaking of beatdowns, really good win by Jeff Walters' crew and an 89-65 win over Kim Caldwell and the Tennessee Lady Vols. And when you look at it, Louisville showcasing a balanced scoring attack with 6 players in double figures. And I think that's the key thing, led by Joanna Wannert and Imani Berry, double-double performance, you know, which was just showed what they were able to do at all facets. Simply put, Jeff Waltz does not get talked about enough as being one of the great coaches in women's college basketball. He's done it for a long time, and this Louisville team, I think, is going to be really dangerous come the month of March. Coming up next, we'll get into our future focus. We'll focus on a couple of teams here that are playing good up and down basketball. We'll talk about St. John's, Texas Tech. We'll talk about JT Toppin and the Texas women's basketball team as we come back with our future focus after this commercial break. Welcome back to College Basketball Today, episode 9 on Christmas Eve. And let's get into our future focus, leading off with the Johnnies, the St. John's Red Storm, who were knocked out in the round of 32 last year in the NCAA tournament, was poised to have a really big year for Rick Pitino. But they've kind of gone off the rails so far and now find themselves outside the top 25 in the AP polls. That's following a 78-66 loss to Kentucky in Atlanta. And when you look at it, early on in the season, St. John's was scoring the ball at a tremendous rate, and they were playing really good basketball, particularly in those non-conference games early on, not against power teams. Even the game they lost to Alabama, they put up 96 points. So the offense looked like it was humming pretty well. The problem is they've just been wildly inconsistent. They were highly ranked, but they're 2-4 versus power conference teams this year, and they just haven't shown that ability versus elite teams. What can be wrong? Point guard play has not been a consistency. And obviously, you have to look at guys that we thought were going to be better than what they were supposed to be this year. And I'm looking at particularly Bryce Hopkins. The transfer from Providence just has not really gone off and been consistent for this team. St. John's is better offensively this year than last year, but consistency isn't there. Flashes of Rick Pitino's vision, not enough nights where it clicks yet. We'll see if St. John's does what he does last year, which is start to play really good basketball towards the end of the season when they get into Big East play, when they're going to be fighting it out, obviously, with UConn, most likely, for the league title. Let's head to Texas Tech. We just spent some time talking about Texas Tech and that 82-81 win over Duke. And I think it was just a big statement game for Texas Tech because they now got their first win versus a team ranked in the top 25. So when you look at this season and them being, you know, I think they were inside the top 10, it was a blend of their ability to score offensively and remain competitive defensively while using their depth is what they were kind of hanging their hat on. Got to remember, this team in Texas Tech did make it to the Elite Eight last year. So there is thought and optimism that this team can continue to play at a really high rate. Texas Tech has not been dominant, but they're still very dangerous in a deep league. They have some of that same toughness as last year, but still searching for that elite level night in and night out. Grant McCaslin's team will get challenged and will get challenged every night in a loaded Big 12. Let's stay with Texas Tech. And talk about JT Toppin, a kid that I have just grown to just love his game. So far this year, 31.4 minutes per game, 21.6 points per game, averaging a double-double at 10.5 rebounds. But the key numbers for me I look at with JT is shooting about 57% from the floor and 45.2% from threes. Earned multiple Big 12 starting five honors so far this year, and showing his ability to dominate inside, right, rebounding while producing double-doubles at an alarming rate. And if you think about it, he had a great year last year. Folks, he's putting up better numbers now this year than he did last year. So this consensus All-American is just playing really, really good basketball. And basically, if you think about it, JT Toppin picked up right where he left off last year. Same dominance, more responsibility, and defenses still don't have an answer to stop this inside-outside force, especially if he gets inside the lane where he can score and score at will. Speaking of scoring at will, we got to spend some time talking about the Texas Lady Longhorns, a team that right now you could say is the number two team in the country. And you're probably going to say that they are playing the best basketball, I would say, besides UConn. Texas Tech is currently number 14 in the country. Recent wins include a 70-51 win over South Dakota State, where Coach Van Chancellor shows his ability to dominate you on both sides of the ball. What's really cool about this team is the amount of consistency across the board, their balanced scoring, and the way that they just have playmakers all over. Led by that lady right there, Madison Booker, one of the best players in college basketball, who could literally, like, you look at 35, I think I said this last year when this was betting above the rim. You say 35, and you think Texas, you think Kevin Durant. That's what this girl is. This lady could score inside and out, has a smooth jumper, and such, as a coach, you can appreciate watching a player with just fundamental, clean footwork. That is something that you just don't see a lot. And you get that out of Madison Booker. But there's other players as well who can step up time to time. Talk about Roy Harmon, one of the best pure point guards in the country, not named Olivia Miles. I can really get you into the lane, create, but is an absolute stud when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Or is there Jordan Lee? You look at this team, and up and down the roster, this team is absolutely loaded. But when you kind of go into it deeper, they haven't shown a clear weakness as of yet, right? They're undefeated. No one's beat them, and most teams can't even touch them. Texas women's basketball looks more complete this year than past seasons. Elite defense and a maturity for a team to make a run in March. Not only that, but in that SEC with Oklahoma, with South Carolina, with LSU, they're going to be battle-tested, and they could be the biggest threat to a UConn repeat. Coming up next, we'll take the fastest 4 minutes of college basketball, and we'll go through a bunch of leagues, the ACC, Big 12, Big East, Big 10, SEC. I'll tell you who's going to win each league, and then I'll give you another team that can upset the apple cart. We'll be back with the Final Four after this commercial break. Welcome back to College Basketball Today, and it's time to get into the fastest 4 minutes. Well, today 5 minutes, because there's no buzzer beater in college basketball, and that's our Final Four. Looking at five leagues in regard to who I think wins, this is going to be the regular season title. Let's begin in the ACC. Who else am I going to pick besides the Duke Blue Devils? A team that I know they just had their first loss, but they have by far the highest ceiling out of any team in the league. Elite talent, NBA talent, NBA shot making, versatility, and the best coach in the league in John Shire. They can beat you in multiple ways. Half court, full court, run and gun, walk it up. And they out-execute you, maybe except for that game versus Texas Tech. Who to watch out for? Virginia. They are the ultimate disruptor. Now, they're different than Tony Bennett's team. They're a little bit more fast-paced, but they're still a team that doesn't really beat themselves a lot. I know you could sit here and say Carolina. And yes, you could with Carolina with Wilson, Caleb Wilson. But to me, if you want to give me a team that's not in the top two to look out for, it's going to be the Hoos. Watch out for Virginia coming down the stretch. Let's get to the Big 12, and which is going to be like winning the Royal Rumble. You don't know who's going to win. But if you're going to ask me a team to pick, I'm taking Houston. Why? The combination of experience, what Milos Uzan and obviously Emmanuel Sharp and Tugler, the young play of Kingston Fleming and Chris Sinak, and the coaching of Kelvin Sampson. And also the fact that their defense travels every night. So it doesn't matter home or road. You got to go to Fog Allen. You got to go to Ames. You got to go to some of these arenas. You got to be able to dial in defensively. And no team does that better than the Houston Cougars, a team that's actually showing a little bit more offensive firepower with Kingston Fleming's there. Who is the team to watch out for? I don't know. I can give you about five of them. So I'm just going to say this. The league is a war. Every night, you got to come ready to play. There are multiple teams that are ranked that can beat anyone any given night. We don't know what's going to happen with Darren Peterson if he comes back. You look at the bands and what he brings. You look at Iowa State, what they did to Purdue. There are teams up and down this league that are going to give you battles night after night after night. I'll tell you as much. I think it's Houston, but whoever wins that league, it's going to be really battle-tested. Oh, I forgot about Arizona as well. Let's get to the Big East, where the clear-cut best team right now is UConn. Why? Size, execution, championship habits, and a championship coach. They can control the game inside. They can control you outside. And when you want to muck it up and make it a fight, no one gets his team to play harder than Dan Hurley's group. So UConn's going to be the favorite to be the regular season title winner. Who am I watching out for? You're going to be like, wait a minute, coach. Where are you going with this? Give me Seton Hall. Hear me out. Number one, there was no pressure on this team. They were predicted to be last in the league. They play a style of defense that they will out-physical you night in and night out, and they will make you play uncomfortably for the length of the game. That's Jean Holloway's motto. Now, the thing with them is can they score enough? They can certainly defend you enough, and they're hard-nosed and tough, just like their coach. Watch out for the Pirates. They're going to be extremely dangerous and motivated for this entire season. Let's get to the Big Ten, where you can go two teams. I'm going with Purdue. Why? Experience. Especially when you look at that backcourt of Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. Obviously, you have the play of Trey Kaufman-Wren in the front court. They are really good offensively, and I don't think Matt Painter's team gets to credit what they do defensively. They're physical, they're big, and they're experienced. Team to watch out for? I'm not going Michigan State because they're going to be high up. Give me UCLA. Their defense is stout. Their guard play makes them dangerous every game. Billadu is a matchup problem at the stretch four. And they're built to win road games and at home. And I love the fight that you get out of Mick Cronin's crew. Let's quickly get to the SEC. I'm taking Arkansas. The reason why I'm taking Arkansas is they have the blend of athleticism, depth, and tempo. And Cal does a great job of developing his players. So if a Cup, Knox, and Brazil can continue to be what they are the team to beat. Watch out, teams. I'm going to give you two. Florida, Kentucky. Simply put, the talent is there. They have the transfers. Can they just put it together? This has been College Basketball Today, Episode 9 for Christmas Eve. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best. Thank you to Matt D. George for always doing a great job. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Merry Christmas.